Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Take your Bibles with me this morning. I'll try not to be too long. And turn with me to the book of Joshua. We're going to read Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. We're going to continue our series titled Wars and Struggles That Define Destiny. Joshua chapter 6, written verses 1 and 2. Amen. When you're there. And the word of God reads, "Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor.'" Come on, you know what? Just going to read it one more time. Just go ahead and stand with me. Come on, just one last time. Just stand. We're going to stand and read that one last time. Praise the Lord. And the word of God reads again. And let's read together in concert. It says, "Now Jericho was securely, strictly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor.'" Let's pray. Father, in the matchless, wonderful, beautiful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we thank you for the grace of God to each and every one of our lives. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your spirit, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that you are moving right now in our lives, in our hearts, Heavenly Father. Arrest us by the spirit of the living God, we pray. May your word be ministered, Heavenly Father, today to every man, woman, and child, myself included, Heavenly Father. Draw us, help us to sense and discern your will, your purpose, your plan. We pray for divine inspiration, and we pray that your word, your seed, will rest and fall upon the good soil of our hearts, the noble soil of our hearts, and that it will take root and bear fruit in to your honor and to your glory, in the precious, wonderful name of Jesus. And everyone said amen. Before you're seated, tell your neighbor, God is fighting for you. Tell your ever neighbor, God's fighting for your destiny. Will you fight for your destiny? Amen. Go ahead and be seated today. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Just a quick recap of last week. Last week, we understand that God has made it clear to each and every one of us, beyond any sense of just of hinting at or even alluding to, that our lifetime here, our life here, our existence here on earth is very much a battlefield. How many of you know we're in a war zone? Amen. We're in an arena of conflict. Amen. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 6, the Bible says, "For by wise counsel you will wage your own war," the Bible says. And Sister Jessica, she touched on it. Because how many people know God wants you to wage your own war? I mean, I really, really sincerely believe in waging another person's war. I believe in serving. I believe in helping people fulfill their vision. I believe in helping others fulfill their vision. But how many people know there must come a time when you got to fight for your own vision and what God has put upon your life? You are unique, and God has a unique and personal plan for each and every one of our lives. And that's a good place to say amen. The Bible says to wage your own war. Amen. You don't always have to wage somebody else's war. Come on, somebody, or serve somebody else's vision. There are times and seasons in your life when you'll be doing something or serving another vision, but I want to let you know, amen, what they got and what they have, God says that you can have it too. God bless you today. David said it like this in Psalms 144, verse 1. He says, "Blessed be the Lord who is my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." How many people know he was talking about the destiny that God has for his life? His life's purpose. He said, "God, train my hands for war and train my fingers for battle." David was a man who was willing to fight for his destiny. Tell your neighbor, fight for your destiny. Fight for your dreams. Fight for your hopes. Fight for your aspirations. Fight for the things that God has placed upon your heart. Fight for that vision. Fight for that thing. Come and know God has spoken to your life. I said God has spoken to your life. You know, there's a story about this guy, and it goes like this. He says he went and put this ladder up against this wall of life, and he climbed it. He spent all his life climbing up this ladder. And when he got to the top of the ladder and he looked around, he's standing on the wall, he realized, my gosh, I climbed the ladder. I was in this fight, but guess what happened? Ask me what happened. He put his ladder up against the wrong wall.
It was the wrong wall. That's why the Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:18 to 20, Paul writes this. He says, "This charge I give you, Timothy." He says, "According to the prophecies spoken about you." Praise God. According to the prophecies, somebody say prophecies. Spoken about who? You. Tell your neighbor, you. Say, there's a prophecy over your life. He says, wage the good warfare. Now, the guy who put his ladder up against the wrong wall, he did fight, but it wasn't a good fight. It was the wrong fight. How many people know we need to be able to discern and recognize the right fight? So your energy and your resources will go into the prophecy over your life. Now, somebody say prophecy. He says, according to the prophecies, prophecies mean that there's something been spoken into your life, over your life, that has a touch of divine grace. Amen. It could be that somebody has come along and laid hands on you and prayed for you and said, "Thus said the Lord." It could even happen here today, or you heard it in another church somewhere. It could be divine dreams and vision and hopes and aspirations that are in your life. Once God's involved, it is a divine prophecy. Amen. You don't always need somebody to lay hands. You sit here today, or your dream at home, there's something burning inside you. There's something that says that there is more to life. Then what's going on in your life now, there's something more for you. There's a greater hope and there's a greater dream. That is a prophecy. And some people know the Bible says we need to fight for that. Fight for that dream. If that prophecy is a healing, if it's deliverance, if it's a whole household, if it's peace, come on somebody. If it's God raising you up and using you mightily, that dream, that inner dream, it is a prophecy. And the word of God says you've got to fight for your destiny. Fight for it. Wage a good warfare. Don't just throw the towel in. Don't just quit and give up on it. He says, come on, somebody say, fight for your destiny. Fight for your destiny. Let me tell you that God is fighting. God is fighting for your destiny. He's fighting for my destiny. Listen, God goes to great lengths throughout the Bible, and I don't have time right now to expand upon these various texts throughout the Bible, which shows us that there is a fight that God, from the very beginning, from the time he told the devil, he said, listen, the seed of the woman is going to crush your head. Say that. In other words, this fight ain't over. She's about to birth something. She's about to bring something through the legacy of humanity that's going to crush you, Satan. And that has happened generation after generation. God will choose and God will raise up somebody, come on, somebody, to bring destiny into our lives and to this generation. There's a text in Genesis 38, verses 6 to 10, and I just want to touch on that today. It reads like this. It says, "Then Judah took a wife of Ur, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar, but Ur, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord killed him. And Judah said to Onan, 'Go to your brother's wife and marry her, and raise up an heir to your brother.' But Onan knew that the heir would not be his. And it came to pass when he went into his brother's wife that he mitted on the ground." In other words, he allowed his semen, his seed, to drop, lest he should give an heir to his brother. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord. Therefore, God killed him. Wow. Now let me just summarize what's taking place there. It was the rule, it was the law that if a brother had a wife and the brother died without giving an heir, legacy, destiny to the wife, then it was the duty of the next brother, the next oldest brother, to go into that wife and impregnate her, give her an heir, give her something to live for, give her destiny. Somebody say destiny. Because those days, women in those times, they didn't have much going on in life. They want this equal right stuff and equal pay. Oh, hallelujah. Let me talk to this side, this equal pay stuff. Well, you know how it goes. They didn't have much going on for them. And if they didn't have an heir, if they didn't have a man in their house, if they didn't have someone who can rise up and be there and protect them, how many people know they didn't have much of a life? They didn't have much of a destiny. So it was the law that the next brother would have to go in there and give her an heir, pay for the child, but the child ain't his. Raise the child, but the child is not his heir. Come on, somebody. So what he done then, he went in there, and he would go in regular. We can see from the text there that he would go in and he would fail to drop seed
within the woman. I want to tell you something. He didn't fail to have fun because he emitted. But yeah, so God, and I said, God, why did you kill him? And God said, first thing first, he ain't giving seed. He's not giving legacy. He's not giving destiny to this woman. And on top of that, God said to me, he said, you know what? And the other thing too, he's just selfish because he's having fun, but he ain't giving her a future. Or maybe that's, let me turn it around and let me just say it this way. Put a ring on it. Does that help? Don't let them have fun. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's why we've got to be careful in this generation too, and especially leaders and parents. Amen. We gotta make sure that we're looking out for our generation, that we're here to give them destiny, that we're not just here to pump them up and have them feeling good and filling up our churches and making us look good, and we got this going on and we got that going on, but we're not helping them fulfill their destiny. We got them coming in. So, well, I wasn't a doctor. I want you to be a doctor. I failed over here. I want you to succeed. Listen, it ain't about you anymore. It's about the next generation and the calling of God upon their lives and their destiny and their hopes and their dreams. Come on, somebody. We had our time, and our time may have passed, but it's time to give this generation seed and their own destiny. We've got to help this generation. Come on, someone. Somebody said, give me destiny. That's one of the struggles for destiny. That's why, you know what, that's one of the reasons why we named this church what it is. Destiny. Making life what it can be. Making life what it can be. We're not under the tenets or the principles of this world. We believe that God has given us the power to make a future for ourselves and for our generation. Amen. That we're not held in tow. Come on, somebody. Destiny. Destiny. There's a struggle for it, and there's a fight for it. I mean, no, people will just tend to want to keep you, control you, so long as you make them feel good. Oh, hallelujah. Don't let me go. What age group we got in here today? Somebody stop at some of these youth ears. They don't want to free you. They don't want to liberate you. And so many times we don't even know that we're being controlled and kept in a place, fulfilling their destiny. And it's not because they're not keeping us in place by what they tell you. Many times we are controlled by things, by people, down to the fact of what they don't tell you. I ain't got time to expand, but I'm serious. They tell you that you're blessed there. They tell you that things are going good here. They tell you that we're moving forward. Come on, somebody. But they tell you that, yeah, that things are advancing. And they tell you that everything is progressing here. But they won't tell you that you can make it out there on your own too. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm not going to go there because some of you start talking about me. I'm not going to go there. Come on, somebody said destiny. That's why Jesus says it's better to give than to receive. Man, when we started this church, we said, you know what, Lord, man, we're not in this for nobody's money. Hallelujah. I ain't doing no church if I got to beg people to pay the bills. Hallelujah. And we thank God, amen, that we don't need to beg nobody to pay our bills. Come on, somebody. We want to be free, especially in this generation, because as soon as you hear church, you know, as Sister Carol, she said, yeah, you know, people don't, this church is always want your money. Listen, this day and age, we need to understand that, because there's been a lot of abuse when it comes to money. Anyway, praise the Lord. You guys, you don't want me to start talking about that. Anyway, somebody say my destiny. Destiny. That's why God says, Esau I have hated, but Jacob I have loved. Esau represents the flesh, but he says, I reject the firstborn, the first thing that came into you. I reject that. But there's something coming after. Come on, that's why Jesus says, the first shall be last. But the last, come on, somebody. I tell you that there's something that you left last. And I mean, people know the last place we look for help as will become the first. We left God on the back burner. We left God last. Come on, son. We left church last. And some of you even made it your mind yet. You're still mucking about with the first. But God's waiting for you to come and say, you know what? Come on, get down to the last, at the end of your line, when you give God a chance in your life. That would be the first. Many of us have found out, hey, that our last is actually our first. Praise the Lord. Joshua chapter 1. We're going to look at just a few verses from here to verse 6, if time permitted. I'm just going to expand on a couple of things, because Pastor Mead preached up the place. Hallelujah, as usual. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. Wars and struggles that define destiny. First point is, says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. Somebody say the death, because some of us still got some stuff living. But anyway, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. What is he? Dead. Come on, somebody. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am given to them, the children of Israel. Tell your neighbor, let Moses die. In fact, tell your neighbor, he's dead. Can't you see? Amen. Effectively, God speaks to Joshua, but the only time God can speak to Joshua, the only time Joshua can hear God's voice, divine release, divine instruction, is when Moses is dead. As long as Moses is alive, come on, somebody, he can't hear. Because for that season of his life, Moses was his God. Moses was his teacher. Moses was his instructor. Moses was his parent. Come on, somebody. And as long as we have some, Moses represents a season past, a time past. Come on, somebody. An experience past. And as long, and when God wants to transition you and move you into something new and fresh, how many people know what we come out of, where we have come from, even some of the experiences, even some of the things that you and I have learned and that worked in times past for it to work, and it cannot, sometimes we can't take it into the future. Moses has to die. Well, I was raised, Moses has to die. Well, I've never done it. Moses has to die. Well, that's not the way. Moses has to die. Well, this is the way. Moses has to die. Well, I'm not agreeing. Moses has to die. It didn't work that way before. Moses has to die. Sometimes we step into this new season of our lives and we're dragging some decomposing corpse and coffin into the newness of our destiny. And we're wondering why we're stinking up the place. Because you got something dead on your back, dead in your mind, and dead in your mouth. We bring our old judgments. We bring our old experiences. And I'm not saying that they're not any good. But sometimes when God wants to put something new in you, you got to let it go. But I'm right. Let Moses die. For God's sake, bury the man. Bury him. Listen, our faith is founded upon three tenets, three principles: death, burial. Then there can be resurrection. Then there can be. I'm sensing that some of you need to go and have a funeral. Go to the graveside of your yesterday and have a funeral. Domino Satus Pratus, whatever. First, come on, somebody. Tell your neighbor, Moses got to die. Moses represents what could have been, what should have been. Bury the man, get rid of him. No wonder God had to hide his body. Because we will visit. Let me tell you something. Philippians 3:13, Paul says, he says, this one thing I do, and we as Christians, we love to press. I'm pressing towards. Because there's a song I love. He goes, I'm pressing to the call of my high calling. I'm pressing, press, I press, and we're pressing, and we're fighting for our destiny. But Philippians 3 says, this one thing I do, I press towards. No. Before he says, I press, I fight for my destiny, he says this. He says, forgetting. I'm letting go. And this was a man that had plaudits, accolades, degrees. Come on, somebody. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He matriculated from the upper echelon of universities. He was taught by this great lecturer. I mean, he was a student. He had Akmanko. Hallelujah. The guy was something. He says, listen, I count it all rubbish. And if you look at the Greek translates as to poo. He says, it's all poo. Are we using the S word these days? Are we boop? Does that help you? Yeah, that's what he can. He says, that's what it's got to be. Oh, praise the Lord. Isaiah 43, verse 18 to 9. I'm drumming this home. God says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the old things. Behold, look, pay attention. I want to do something new in your life. For some of us, it's real new because we ain't met God yet. And for some of us, we've met God, but God wants to take you out of something old and bring you into a new season. Somebody say a new season. He says, now it shall spring forth. And I like this part. Shall you not know it? He said, can't you see? Can't you discern what I'm trying to do? How many of you know when we come out of old season and we go into a new season, we've got to learn how to trust God. I said, we've got to learn how to come out of the world. You come into church and you've got to figure out, you've got to learn. Jesus said, listen, unless you become like one of these, not childish, but childlike. Are you hearing me? That's how you got to come into the kingdom. That's how you got to come into new seasons. That's how you got to come into new territory. That's how you got to come into a new job. That's how you got to come into a new relation. Oh, hallelujah. You got to drop some things. Be childlike, willing to learn. Don't think you know everything. You may even know some, but still put it back there. Because there may be something else to learn, a little something to add to you, a little something. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you hearing me? And sometimes God just wants to do something new. Sometimes God will call you to step out somewhere, to live somewhere, to do something. And how many of you know sometimes we like to just choose the path of the least resistance, the easiest way. Somewhere that you could afford. An easy way. Somewhere that you can make it with what you got by with yesterday. Well, God is challenging you to move forward. What you'll find that we end up doing is that we will look at our resources that we had yesterday. The God that we walk with yesterday and we allow that to determine our steps for our tomorrow. Are you hearing me? And all of a sudden, we're judging and we're plotting according to yesterday. But yesterday, we should have forgot. But because we look ahead and at this future and this destiny and the possibilities that are in our heart, we're thinking, how can we afford that? How can we make it there? And God, hallelujah. This is what he says. He says, will I not even make a road in the wilderness? When you feel the challenge, God will say to you, listen, don't worry. And rivers I'll make a road in the wilderness. I'll put rivers in the desert. This is where faith steps in. I'm going to trust God to provide for me. I'm going to trust God to meet me as I step out into that arena and that destiny. Oh, hallelujah. You ain't hearing me today. Don't allow the past to dictate your future. Don't allow what you had or what you ain't got. But, you know, well, this is how I used to do. You know, some of us, we got by on some stuff in the past. Some of us, man, we got by on that little swish you had that used to get you what you wanted to get. Come on, somebody. Tell the truth now. That's God said, don't worry about that. You ain't going to swing that no more. Some of us guys, yeah, flash cash and bad man, a bad man. And some of you was bad gal step in and all that kind of stuff. God says, drop all that. That's not how you're going to get by anymore. You ain't got to manipulate. You ain't got to trick. And you ain't got to sell yourself and do what? Come on, somebody. God says, I'll make a way. I'll make a way. I'll make a way. I'll make a way. Tell your neighbor, it's time to change and step into my newness. I'm forgetting that old attitude, how I used to carry myself, how I used to behave and how I used to act and how I used to get my way. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbors, next level now. You know what they say about next level? They say new levels, new devils. Woo! Tell you never get ready. Get ready. Amen. Don't allow your past or your history to manipulate you or control you. Hallelujah. That's why I like God. God just liberates and sets free. That's what he's about. He's not about keeping us, keeping you here, keeping you in this church, keeping you in this environment, keeping you on the lock and key, keeping you in that job, keeping you in this mindset and mentality. No, God wants to equip and bless and release. Oh, praise the Lord. Sometimes, you know what, some churches, man, I'm not going to say it, that they seem to think that everybody's supposed to be the pastor. Everybody's supposed to be an apostle. Everybody, but Jesus said, go you into the world. And if everybody's in church, who's going to go into the world? Who's going to go into the film industry? Who's going to go to Hollywood? Who's going to go to Shaftesbury Avenue? Who's going to go to the banks? Come on, somebody. Who's going to go in the marketplace? Who's going to go there? Who's going to go in the hospital? Come on, somebody. Oh, praise God. I mean, some of us pastors, man, we beat ourselves. We chose this. Come on, somebody. But I've been in some churches, man, just because we chose it, it's like everybody's got to choose it. The same whip I beat, it's my whip. I whip myself. Get up. I make my bed, and I lay in it. But we've got to be careful about the bed that we make. We want to make somebody else lie in it. They got their own life. Oh, praise the Lord. You know what I'm saying, right? Praise God. Amen. Let's move on. Joshua 1, verse 3. I like this. This is my yardstick scripture, I call this one. It says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. He says, from the wilderness, from this place over here, to this great river, to the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. It says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Like, that's like, listen, God said, listen, the same way that man of God, that woman of God was able to just attain and achieve their destiny, the same. Listen, I ain't going to treat you no different. Don't look at him up there in that little suit. He's not even wearing a tie today. I rebuke him when he gets home. Hallelujah. But the same way I blessed his life, just because you're not up here behind the pulpit, I bless your life as you're behind the pulpit in your house. The same way I'm with him, I'll be with you. God does not hold his power or his faith with partiality. There's no favorites with God. The same power up here on my life is the same power down there on your life. It ain't no different. Some of you got a little more than I got anyway. But you know I let off. Anyway, praise the Lord. You better let it off. I like this. Every place, the soul, I like this man, just walk in it. If I say you're healed, that's your destiny, walk in it. If I say that you're going to speak plainly and not stutter and stammer, walk in it. Walk in it. If I say you're going to make it in life, you're going to achieve and attain, come on, get that silly head off of you and put on the mind of Christ and walk in it. I like this one. Mash it up, man. Walk in it. Mash it up. Walk in it. Back in the world, you was bad man and bad girl step in. Anyway, now all of a sudden you become a Christian, you all. Oh my gosh. You used to make the devil blush. Now you're in the house of God, you don't want to mash ant. You're getting all cute and nice. The devil is a lie. Where did that come from? Who taught that? My Bible says that the kingdom of heaven, the people of God, will suffer violence, but the violent must take it by force. In every word, don't take back no talk. Don't stand for no foolishness when it comes to the things of God. Walk in it. If God says it's yours, walk in it. Walk in it. Walk in it. Praise the Lord. Can we move on? Very quickly, Joshua chapter 3, verse 2-4, it says, so it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark, which represents the presence of God, your God and the priest, the Levites, carrying it, you shall set out from your place and go after it. Oh, hallelujah. Yet there shall be a space, somebody say a space, between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, take it, don't come near it. So don't get too near. Don't get too familiar. You know what? Just tell your neighbor, have some respect, man. Respect. That you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. You know, sometimes we could be an impulsive bunch of people. As soon as you feel a little tingle down your spine, ooh, that's God. And then we just run off and we do this. And run off and we make this decision. Run off and we make that choice. How many of you know? Or is it just me? I've been doing that for years. Oh my God, man, I've made some decisions and choices. I've wasted months and sometimes years here. And then I began to learn when the presence of God begins to stir my spirit. Oh, come on, somebody. And stir my heart. And that I need to just step back. Yeah, and let God finish what he begins stirring. Watch out for your own impulsiveness. Can you know how some of you fast? Yeah, yeah. That's why you is where you is today. Too fast. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody tell the truth. If you weren't too fast, you'd be in a better place today. Can somebody say amen? Amen. We was too fast. Anyway, I'm not going to go there because I'll just be telling on myself right now. Too fast. They should be, back in the day, you used to tell us your heart is, you won't hear, then you're going to feel. They need to start saying you're too fast. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, temper yourself. Don't be so quick with your opinion or to pass judgment. Let God finish what he's doing. And sometimes we're just too fast to talk about what God's doing in somebody's life or what he's up to. Way too fast. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can we move on? You know, sometimes we're making all these decisions and choices about our destiny and our future in an isolated place. You at home and you're listening to whatever his name is, not even gospel, and you're coming out of all this revelation. God said. And you don't even test it or try it or listen. The Bible says, through many counselors, don't be so quick. At least make sure. I ain't saying it's wrong, but the more sure that you are that it's right, then the more you'll stand in it. Because let me tell you something, anytime you step out to something new, the devil's going to come. And if the devil don't come, I'll tell you something that will come after you, just life. Life will test you. Oh, pray. I ain't talking to nobody. There ain't nobody in here living. Praise the Lord. So he says, listen, don't get too close. Just back off a bit. Let God be God. Learn to sense and discern. Don't rush. You even know you ain't going to miss God. If you sincerely want to make the right moves for your destiny and your future, and you prayerfully commit them to God, and you wait for that, and God sees that you're sincere, you ain't going to miss God. You know, sometimes people can offer you something, and part of you is just greedy for it right now. You know, the fastness for it. You think you're going to lose it? Yeah, if it's God, you can't lose it. I said, if it's God, you can't lose it. Amen. Because if a man could take it away, if man can take it away, it was never God then. Bible says if you're given to gluttony, put a knife to your throat, put things in place in your life that will make you restrict and walk in wisdom. Amen. Like, for example, if you know you spend too much time on the TV, don't pay your electric bill. That's a knife to your throat. Sorted. That TV ain't coming on no more. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. No, I'm not going to repent about that one. All right, pray. Joshua chapter 5, just two more. Oh, I think we should skip this one. You lot ain't ready for this one. Right. Bring it. He said, bring it. Joshua 5, verse 2 to 8. We're not going to read all of it. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourself and circumcise the sons of Israel again, the second time. So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskin. Ooh. Ooh. And all the sisters said, amen. That's as near as you're going to get to childbirth. Praise the Lord. Verse 8 says, so it was when they finished circumcising all the people that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. I like this, man. Because you know, many of us, man, we just don't like to get cut. How many people know that there's this thing about us that the Bible calls it our flesh? It's where all of our self-will and our unruly and rebellious nature dwells. You know, want what we want, when we want it, and how we want it. Don't tell me nothing. I know what I'm about. Come on, somebody. Everybody know what I'm talking about. And then there's this thing that we just don't like to get cut. You know, if you like me, I'm terrible like that. I get all defensive. Don't talk to me like that. Don't you know who I am? I am the pastor, you know. Don't you know how many degrees I have? What was that song that I heard someone else play? But can't come chat to me anyway. It's a Papa San, it's a Christian song, so don't worry. Yeah, that's it. That's it. And so he says, listen, man, sometimes we go off track sometimes in life. Bible says that cut them again. Cut them again. And some of us, we just don't like people talking, telling us off. And telling us how people know when we were children, we got treated like children. Amen? But now we're mature. If you want destiny, if you want your future, we've got to be willing to be cut. We've got to be willing to be rebuked. We've got to be willing to be told what not for. You know, I'm talking to you a lot, actually. Let me talk to the people who are going to do the cutting. Amen? Parents in this place and brothers and sisters and mentors to people, don't be afraid, amen. If you want to help someone into their destiny, don't be afraid to tell them the truth. Sometimes, but in love, know that when you tell them the truth and you tell them the truth about themselves in love, that you're helping them into their destiny. You're helping rebuild them, tell them about them. Help me, Jesus. Remember last week I told you about these two guys that were living in my house? They're still living in my house. And how two of them, they sat me down in the space of a couple of days, and I'm walking, I'm leaving. And you can't tell me that I'm leaving this house and blah, 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 blah. And then one of the craziest things, one of them had the cheek to sit me down about 11:30, 12 o'clock at night and tell me he's leaving my house in the morning. Because I told him about his business. So that's all right, that's fine. So I sat down with him and he's telling me, I'm sitting down there, I'm going, well, I took out one knife and give you one joke, and you vex. And now you're sitting down in front of me in my house, and you're telling me you're leaving? Where's my bag? I might as well take all my knives out then. So while I was there, I took out my little machete, me chop it up. You're prideful, you got a big head, and I took out my stiletto, bam, juke it up. And this, you need to change. I'm telling you, Santa. I said, well, if you're going, I might as well just bloody up the place. Come on, somebody. Rebuked it, cut it, and then left him. Good night. But people know, and sometimes you got to deal with your kids like that. Sometimes it hurts you more than it's actually hurting them. Sometimes when you're leading the men, you got to tell people the truth. Don't you can't, because you're frustrating their destiny. God says, cut away that flesh. They're hurt. Sometimes they might even come back to you, to your house. But they'll come back to his house at some point. Are you hearing me? They might not come back to your church. That's all right. But they'll come back to his church. And God says, don't worry, man. They will heal. It's about destiny. It's not about us keeping people. Oh, I don't want to lose them. Man, it took me years to get to that point where I'm not afraid to lose. Now I try and get rid of people. I do. I actually try. I said, man, I might as well just start throwing that knife over and that knife over. Because I've learned, man, if you can't throw knives at them and chop them up and you got to mollycoddle them and canoodle them and rub them down like they're some kind of racehorse or pat and powder them, man, you just forget it. If I can't get rid of you, then I know that you're a son and you're a daughter. Oh, praise the Lord. So don't go and come and tell me you're leaving. Because I might say, well, in that case, I'm pull out my bag. Praise the Lord. But we've got to learn how to take it. And man, when you get hit too, how many people, we used to say this, you learn by the cut, not the stitches. How many people know you remember when you get cut, you don't remember the stitching up. You remember the lesson. I said, you remember the lesson. The cut. You learned how you got cut and where you got cut and why you got cut. And you ain't, and after that, you don't want to get cut no more. That's what God's trying to teach us. Get a mind and a heart that accept it. And when you get cut, most of the time when I get cut, I'm like, ooh. Spirits come out of me. Some of the devil's cousins rise up, the ones that are hiding places. And we just want to tell them about their business. But I've learned just humble yourself, humble yourself, humble yourself, pull yourself together. And I say, yes, sir, yes, pastor. I remember one time I was getting whooped on one time. I remember by a pastor, and my wife was there. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. Bloodshed nay in the place. I'm like, leave him alone. Just forget it, leave it. Because by then I kind of like matured. I could take it. Who's he think he's talking? And he could hear it, you know. Who's he think he's talking to? Rabbi, he don't know what you've done. I'm going to just leave it alone. We've got to learn how to take it. Amen. Last but not least. Joshua 6. Amen. Sorry, I have to rush through this, but take it up with Pastor Eric Mead after service. There's a fellow over there tomorrow, far right, front row. Praise the Lord. He used to be my good friend. Amen. Joshua 6. Bible says that now Jericho was securely shut up. Somebody said Jericho. You know, there's a verse in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, now Joshua sent the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. Somebody say, especially Jericho. And I missed this point, and I'm going to add it here. Got to make it work somehow. And especially Jericho. And any new venture, any new season of life, whether it be a relationship, you're gonna live somewhere, you want to grow, or you know, God's just bring you out of something, bring you from one level to the next level. And we gotta, he says, especially Jericho, because there's all types of battles and that you're gonna fight. There's all types of things that you want to achieve and that you're gonna want to do in life. There's all sorts of areas of your life and your destiny that you're gonna have to conquer some things in your life, outside of your life. Whether you're raising a family, you're doing a business, whatever. There's all these different areas, and one of the things that we could end up doing is trying to get everything. We want this and we want that and we want that, and that's all well. But God says, listen, especially Jericho. That effectively means that there's always some key place in your life, in my life, that needs to be conquered, that needs to be won. Are you hearing me? Because there's just some things in life that you can get all of that, but if you haven't got this area of your life sorted, all of that can fall because of this. Are you hearing me? Somebody say, especially Jericho. That's what he's saying. He says, effectively, Jericho was a strategic city. A strategic stronghold. It wasn't even the biggest thing in the world. It wasn't even the biggest city in the promised land. But it was strategic. It was strategic. Effectively meaning, man, that Jericho represents a microscope or a telescope. It could either minimize your future or maximize your destiny. That's what it had the power to do. For some of us, it could be our anger. For some of us, and it's got to be, I don't even know, it's got to be located. And how do you locate? Sometimes you got to pray. You got to say, okay, God, what is the key area of my life right now? Some of us speaking to someone the other day, and they got this young family, and you know, obviously when you got a young family, you want to get a house, you want to get a car, you want to live over there, you want to do this. And I said, you know what, the key thing right now for you to do, man, you could do all that, but make sure you do this, pray.
Pray for those children. Pray for those children. Pray. I mean, they're four. I think all of them are under 10. And I'm saying pray. Pray for them when they're, pray now for when they're 11. Pray now for when they're 15. Pray now for when they're 20. Pray now. Pray for who they meet, when they meet, how they meet, if they meet. Pray now for their education. Pray for their health. Pray. Because 20 years from now, you would have wished you had prayed. You would have wished you'd have covered all of that in prayer. And you'd be running here and there to pray for. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Because it's just experience. No. Somebody say wisdom. Wisdom is the thing you've got left after somebody's lived a long time and the experience of life has chewed them up and spat them out. Come on, somebody. Amen. And then some of us are left with wisdom. Talk to people that are ahead of you, that have traveled the road in life, and they're not bitter. Because some people have got experience, but they're bitter. You know the ones. Them men, none of them men are no good. Come on, somebody. Bitter. No, don't trust nobody, man. None of them are no good. Oh, some of you know what I'm talking about, yeah? Talk to people that have got experience through life. May not have treated them the best, but they're still sweet. Amen? Like, they're still sweet. They've took experience, their life. And they've released things. And they appreciate all that they've learned, but now they can help somebody else sow a seed into them to help them fulfill their destiny. So talk to sweet people. Don't talk to old people that bitter, you know. Then just walk around the place and cuss up the place and mad. Come on, somebody. That's what they do. That's what some of them do. They're hurt. They're bitter. I'm saying they're poisonous. Talk to somebody that's sweet. Lost this and broke that and that didn't work, but they're still sweet. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And that's one of, I said, man, if I had it all to do again, that's one of the key things I would do. Is pray. And pray. And pray. And if you got kids like mine, and pray. I'm fast. Come on, somebody, give God some praise in this place. Last, Joshua 6, and Jericho was securely shut up. That's how you find Jericho in your life. It's that thing that says it gets offended because something's happening in your life. God's stirring in your life. It's that thing in your life that rises up and says, you're messing with my comfort zone. Back off. Anyway, praise the Lord. You're encroaching upon my culture, how I act, how I behave. That thing, Jericho, that thing in your life, it begins to see the newness, this move that's taking place as a threat. I want to stay the same. Leave me alone. Go away. Somebody said Jericho. And if we don't locate it, God will find it for you because God is fighting for you. God says, if you don't want to find it, I'll find it for you. It's that reoccurring theme. You know, the area where we keep messing up, it reoccurs. We're over here, we're in the north, and this pops up. Now we're down in the south, and the same thing pops up. Now we're in the east, now we're in the west. With him, we've heard this thing, this reoccurring thing that just keeps happening and bringing everything down. You achieve and accomplish so much, but when this happens, it just deflates you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of us got that thing in our lives where something just, no matter what we do, when this happens, boo, we see life as not worth living. It could be an attitude. Just how you think. Something in your life that just when it manifests, when it appears, it makes you think life is not worth living. That's a Jericho. That's something that needs to be conquered and dealt with. Are you hearing me? And the Bible says this. It says, see, I've given Jericho into your hand. God says, you've got the victory. I'm with you. I'm fighting for you. I am with you. And then he gives them these instructions on how to master the Jerichos in our lives. Verse 4, he says, and seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. Verse 6 says, then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the ark. Somebody say, take up the ark of the covenant.
and let priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of God. In other words, he sends the soldiers, the army. Right, we're going to war now. This Jericho, this issue in our lives, this one part of our lives, for this season of our lives, is not going to stay here. Somebody say, I'm going to war. I'm going to war. And whenever Israel went to war, obviously they sent out the army. But they had never, ever sent the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the presence of God with the army. This was the first time. He says, listen, we're going to war. But this time, we're taking the presence of God. Oh, praise the Lord. He said, this time, we're taking the presence of God. I want to tell you something. Never, listen, our life is a battlefield. Every time you go to, you leave your house and you go to your job, guess where you're going? To war. Come on, somebody. Every time the husband wants to sit with the wife and talk, come on, somebody, you're going to war. Or the wife to the husband, you're going to war. Every time you want to advise your children, you're going to war. Every time you need to confront somebody and speak about something, you are going to war. When you leave, you go to school, you are going to war. You need to take the presence of God with you to war. Take the presence of God, the power of God with you into battle. Every time you need to speak to someone, let me say, when you take the presence of God with you, it is, he is effective. Man, you ever feel like you're talking to the wall sometimes? Because we go to war way too much in life without the presence of God. We get up, we just, whoo, gone. Whoo, come back. Whoo, gone. Some of you even come to church today and you didn't even pray before you got here. You shouldn't even come to church without praying. Lord, help me today to sit through that preaching. You know how long he is. Come on, somebody. And God help us if he's got guests in the house. Lord, have mercy. Come on, somebody. Come on, stand with me. We've got to take the presence of God. God is fighting for us. He's on your side. Somebody say, employ God. Give God a job. Pray. Pray for your family. Don't go to war without God. When you wake up in the morning, pray for your kids. Last minute at night, pray for your house, your family, your relatives, your city, your job, your place of work, your place of education, that marketplace, your career. Pray. Pray for your health. Come on, somebody. You go to the doctors, pray. Because they will tell you something that God don't want them to tell you sometimes. But because we haven't invited God's presence. And when God's presence is not there, guess whose presence is there? I ain't got to say it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just worship. Lord, lift your hands in this place. Begin to thank God. Thank you.
I will not the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just want you to just find one person, just hold one person's hand, and you're gonna pray for them. We're gonna help you pray for them, those of you that need help praying for them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on right now, pray for them while they pray for you. First prayer point today is pray that they will fight for their destiny. Pray that they will fight. They will fight for their future. That they will fight according to how they hear God. That as God speaks to their life, they will believe what they hear. They will believe what they hear. Come on, pray that they will fight for the prophecy concerning them. And they will wage a good war, a good fight. They'll wage their own war. Pray that they will identify and discern what God has for their life. Pray they will identify and discern what God has for their life. And they will fight for it. They will believe God for it. Praise the Lord. Secondly, pray that they would use the grace of God and let the past be in the past and forget what's behind them, that they will let go of some stuff. They will let go of dead things like unforgiveness and bitterness and hurt and pain. If you're with your children, pray for your children too. Hold their hand and pray for them. Pray that they will learn how to move on and let go, move into their destiny and walk in their future. Come on, pray that they'll walk by faith, that the things that God places in their hearts, they will believe and they'll walk in their destiny. They'll walk. And even though right now they may not look like a success, they will walk in success. That even though it looks right now they're not prospering, they will walk as those who are prospering. Pray that they will be a giver, that they will give. That there's too much selfishness in this world. Pray that they will help people in destiny. They will give people destiny. They give people seed. They help people to have a future. Come on, that's the kind of spirit we need in the church today. That's the kind of spirit this world needs. Not people that are out for themselves, but people that want to give, that want to help people into their future. Come on, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And we want to be blessed people. I said we are blessed people. We give. We encourage. We give seed. We sow. Lord, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for your word to each and every one of our lives here today. Thank you, Lord. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll just watch over your word as it's been sowed and planted into the lives, the hearts, and the minds of your creation, of your people here today. Let your word arrest us. Let it supersede all things that are not of you. Let your ways supersede our ways, and let your thoughts supersede our thoughts. May the word of God arrest us, that we will walk in it and we will know the truth, experience the truth, and be liberated to truth in life and destiny and not error. In the precious, wonderful name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Come on, give someone a hug. Come on, give the Lord a praise.